Yeah, I can't even watch. I started watching. I think I watched about like 15 seconds with Rachel last night. I can't watch this whole thing. I was going to make you all watch that this morning so you can thank my computer for not allowing me to download that. But it's interesting. So in this, are we in danger when we watch this? No, we're not in danger. We're certainly not. Do we feel at peace when we're watching these? No, we don't. I'm sorry? You need counseling. I mean, yeah, it would be nice. I wish I could not have that kind of fear. But so we're not in danger. We know we're safe. We're sitting in our comfy chair, but we're not at peace at all, are we? So it's interesting. There's this disconnect between the reality of my life that I am safe and comfortable and not at risk of falling thousands of feet and dying, but my body feels, oh no, I am not at peace. This is a bad thing. And I think in our lives, we can take this with anything. We have spiritual realities that we are at peace with God, but often we don't feel perhaps we're at peace with Him or there's peace going on in our lives. I'm not talking about peace in the Middle East or peace politically or any of that stuff that eternally actually doesn't really matter, but just, is there peace in my life? Can I actually have and achieve peace? So we're going to talk about that today with just continue our November series, just hearts of gratitude that, yes, we can have peace. Yes, in Jesus, we do have peace. Yes, we can walk each day in peace, independent of my job, my family, the list of people that do not like me, the list of people I do not like, independent of all these circumstances, we can have peace. And so I was thinking about this message, a question kind of popped up. Is the peace we have dependent on our circumstances or situation? Is the peace I have, is that dependent on my circumstances or situation? And at first I went, well, no, at least it shouldn't be. It should be completely independent of what's going on. But then as I think deeper, think theologically about it, well, yes, it actually, my peace is dependent on my circumstances. It's just, it's dependent on the spiritual realities, the heavenly realities. Because I can feel safe, even if I'm not. Even if I have no peace with God, I've never accepted Jesus as Savior. I don't have the comfort and protection of His blood over my life. But you know what, I'm a pretty competent person. I got this thing figured out. Well, we all figure out in our life, not too far along, that man, things just kind of get out of control. This isn't really a peaceful place. So yes, our peace is dependent. Our peace is dependent ultimately on God. If my peace is dependent on me and what I can produce and what I can do, I'm in trouble. If your peace is dependent on what you can bring to the table exclusively, you guys are in trouble as well. So let's take a look at this, which is this hearts of gratitude. It's November. Just so, man, we can have peace. So positionally, as I already mentioned, we are at peace with God. That is the status we have if we are followers of Christ, if we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, acknowledging that He is God. He died on the cross for our sins, that He loves us. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Unpacking a little bit. If we have been justified, if we've been declared righteous, by what? By simply our faith. If God has declared us righteous, then what do we have? We have peace with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through His death on the cross, through His blood, through His everything. So the opposite then is true. If I have never been declared righteous by God, if I have never placed my faith in Jesus Christ, then His death on the cross, His sacrificial death, it's not helping me at all. The peace that He wants to bring to us, to our lives, that peace between God, there's actually, we're underneath the wrath of God, or we will suffer the wrath of God, whether we're feeling that or not. But positionally, we are at a place of peace, whether I feel peaceful or not with God. You see, we can easily not feel peaceful because, well, I've done it again. And you can fill in that gap, that whatever you want. I've done it again, and we all have, I believe we have our own sin de jours, where we mess up again and again and again, and that might be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, start of the week again, and we do the same silly thing. We all have our struggles. So I might not feel peaceful. I might feel, Lord, You're getting ready to smack me. You're ready to want me one. But this verse is very clear. No, we have peace with God. Romans 8:1, basically the same thing. There's therefore no what for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. We're not condemned. God doesn't just sit there with his list and, oh, you did it again. All right, ooh, man, I can't wait to get you back for this one. He is not a condemning God for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're positionally at peace. And we might know these verses, but have they sunk down to heart level? There's no other way to have peace with God, except, of course, if you're to live a perfect life, which we all missed that train, I'm not sure how many minutes after we were born. In fact, we inherited, if we want to get deep and theological, we inherited that sin nature from Adam and Eve. We're already sinners. We're already separated from God. So the big thing is we have peace with God, and without this as our foundation, that next step, how can I have everyday peace if I don't believe I have positionally peace with God? Well, there is going to be no everyday peace. I can remember being a senior in college. I was not yet a follower of Christ. It was the fall semester, and you start thinking, well, in the spring, I'm going to be done. I'm going to have large debt and a piece of paper and hopefully a job eventually. But I had no idea what I was going to do. With a meteorology degree, I could be a meteorologist, but there's not a whole lot of other options where people are looking for, man, I want you to be my public relations person or whatever else is going on. You know, this is a pretty small niche, pretty small window, pretty small thing of what I want to do, and there's not a lot of options out there if that's what you want to do. I didn't have a great deal of peace. What's going to go on? Because it's all based on me. It's all based on Brian, what I can do, what I can bring to the table. Well, fortunately, January 23rd of 2006, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And one of the things, he did many things pretty close off the bat. I didn't have that anxiety. I knew that the Lord, he was going to guide and direct. I didn't have to do everything. I didn't have to worry about, well, if I choose Virginia over Florida, over California, what if it's the wrong choice? I mean, that's a huge burden. Anybody feel that? What if I make the wrong choice? That's huge. But if it's not about me, but if God's grace is bigger than that, man, he can cover a multitude of sins, a multitude of bad errors that you and I can make. He redeems them. I believe we can. How do we have this everyday peace? How can I feel at peace? Well, as we talked about before, I can feel at peace because I'm declared righteous by God. He declares me righteous. I can feel at peace because my declaration of righteousness is not based on my actions. It's not based on anything I bring to the table, but my faith and trust in God alone. If it's based on what I can do, then you know what? It's also, my peace is also going to be based on what I don't do or what I do wrong. Easy come, easy go. If it's based on just what I can do, I can feel at peace. Number three, my peace is through Jesus' finished work on the cross. And that's a one and done thing. Because Jesus' death and resurrection for my sin, that never changes. He doesn't undie on the cross. He doesn't get re-put up on the cross. He doesn't re-resurrect from the dead. It's a one-and-done thing. And then number five, Romans 8:28, those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So I can feel this peace. I can feel, I can reckon this to be true, or what I know scripturally is true, but it's hard for me to sometimes hold on to. Anybody feeling a little bit of lack of peace this month, this year, this season in our lives? Yeah. Do you think Jesus ever felt a lack of peace in his earthly ministry? Did Jesus ever feel a lack of peace? Yosemite?
Yosemite.
He made Yosemite, didn't he? Yeah. And so I would agree. So was there ever a time in Jesus' earthly ministry where he did not seem at total peace? I would say absolutely the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus, he was not at total peace there, was he? We start in Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46, looking at this. Jesus was not at peace. It says, then Jesus went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit down here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful, troubled. That's not peaceful. And he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. Jesus is not at peace at all right now. And so there's some very good reasons why Jesus is not at peace. There's very good reasons for you and I to not feel at peace in our lives. We live in a broken, horrible world. We have nonsense going on. We have nonsense on top of nonsense. Not to mention the stuff that we add to the table that's not helping things. There might be more, but I believe there was five reasons for Jesus not to be... Oops, I didn't write them down. So you'll just have to listen to me. I'll try to speak slowly, okay? Okay. I didn't look at you, Pat, at all. But it's okay. I could look at everybody for that statement. I think everybody in this church has at least said or thought, Brian, please slow down. So number one, he's going to be going to the cross to be crucified. He's going to die on the cross for our sins. That is not a peaceful time. That is not a joyful experience. I imagine. Fortunately, none of us have experienced death, but this is not something he's looking forward to. Nobody would be. We got number two. We have Judas, one of his inner 12, is going to betray him. He's going to be betrayed by this man he's poured years into his life. Betrayal, there's not this peace. There's just coming this betrayal. Number three, all of his disciples, Matthew 26, 31 says, all of his disciples will fall away from him. It's not just Peter. We love to pick on Peter. Okay, I love to pick on Peter. But it's not just him. Jesus says every single one of you is going to fall away. So it's not just Judas betraying him, but these guys who are on his side, these guys have been pouring in his life into, they're going to fall away from him during this. Your best friend's betraying you. That has to be awful. That has to be the sorrow, the trouble that we see there. Number four. Think about this concern. Why is Jesus making disciples? Why is Jesus pouring his life into these men and the women? He had female disciples. They're going to take over the ministry. So Jesus dies on the cross. He's resurrected. He goes to heaven. Who's left to bring forth the good news to the world? These disciples, these apostles. So if right now he knows they're going to fall away from him during this hour of trouble, does that leave great confidence in the people that are going to take over for him? You're a business owner, and this is who you look around. You're going to have to go away. These are people that are going to take over the business when you're gone. Is there great confidence? No. What's going to happen? Even when he's there, they're arguing over who's the best, who will be the greatest. They're contradicting Jesus will die on the cross. He says this three times. I'm going to go die on the cross. I'm going to go die on the cross. No, you won't. There's the arrogance of never falling away. No, Jesus, obviously they don't know what they're saying when they're contradicting Jesus. Neither do we. We have here just even in the garden, they can't stay awake, as we'll see here, to keep watch, to pray, which is, I imagine, distraught, has to be tough for him. We're even going to see Peter cutting off the ear of the servant for the resting party, but Jesus is going to come out with peace. Peter there with him, praying, not at the same spiritual spot ready. These guys clearly are not ready from a worldly viewpoint to take over. And then number five, rejected by the leadership of the Jews. Well, Jesus came first to save Israel and then the Gentiles. Imagine all these leadership, the powers to be, all that. He came to save these folks, and it's not just, man, how could you not listen to me? His heart has to be broken. He loves these people. He loves us as screwed up as we are, as stupid as we say things sometimes. His heart must be broken. Jesus is not at peace. So what's his solution? Let's pray. He goes, let's get away and pray. And so it says, verse 39, Matthew 26, and going a little farther, he fell on his face and praying, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. He's been praying for an hour straight because he knows this is God's will for him to go to the cross, but he does not desire to do it. So there's this conflict, but he wants to be fully submitted to the Father. He wants to do it with a full heart. Again, for the second time, verse 42, he went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. By this point, we know Luke, the blood is pouring down. He's sweating blood. He is so just consumed by this. He's so fraught. He's so unat peace. And again, he found them sleeping with their eyes heavy. So leaving them again, he went and prayed for the third time, saying the words again. Jesus pursues the Father. He pursues the peace. He knows that there's this, he's not right there, but he pursues this. And then what do we see with verses 45 and 46? Well, Jesus is going to find the peace. He's going to find the assurance he was looking for. And he doesn't just a one-time prayer to quick go and let's move on with life. He spent hours and hours this night when he could have been resting. But he was restless. Verse 45, he came to the disciples and said to them, sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. I see a completely different shift in Jesus now. Jesus, he has been encouraged by the Father. He's been lifted up. He knows fully well that this is God's will. He's going to go ahead and do this. That great peace. With that peace, he can do anything. You and I, we can do anything that God's will. If we know that going back a number of the verses, well, if we have peace with God, there's no condemnation. If he has our best interest in mind, I can do anything that he asks. But we worry about the worldly stuff going on. But Jesus, he prays himself into this place of peace. John 14, Jesus gives us that ability. God gives us peace, the ability to have peace. John 14, 26 and 27, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He will bring to your remembrance all I have said to you. Acts 1:8, we know he's going to empower us. But verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. God is sending this peace. That's one of the many roles, the facets of the Holy Spirit. He brings us peace. He empowers us to do what the Father is asking, independent, knowing that whatever God's asking us to do, it's for our best, it's for the world's best, it's for the Father's best. He helps us. He empowers us. He encourages us. We're filled with the same Holy Spirit that Jesus was filled with, are we not? The same Holy Spirit that came down as a dove when Jesus was baptized, came out of the water. God the Father said, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." We have that same ability. So how can I pray myself into peace? I'm not feeling peaceful. I know I ought to. I would say first thing, recognize that you do not have the peace. I think sometimes we overlook it, but just recognize, step one, recognize that you're Alcoholics Anonymous. Recognize that I have a problem. Well, I have a sin problem. I'm not at peace. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say not being at peace is a sin problem. But just recognize, hey, I don't have it. Number two, determine, well, what's God's will in this situation? We can never expect to be at complete peace when we're walking contrary to God's plans or using tools of darkness in an attempt to achieve righteousness. We're not going to get that peace that we desire. We want to remember the spiritual truths and realities that we are at peace with God. So even if it's not a sin thing where I feel condemned by God, obviously that verse, Romans 8:1, will help counteract that, where there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But if we have peace in this world, then we know that there's a good God who loves us, and he's allowing by his sovereign hand for us to go through this nonsense. Remember those spiritual truths and realities. I think own those, reckon those as to be truths. Number four, cast your anxieties, your burdens, your non-pieces on God. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. He doesn't just want us to hold on to these. We did this a month or so ago where we had the exercise, we cast our cares on the cross on God. It's a casting, leave them on him, all of your anxieties. God cares for you. He wants to take care of these. He wants to hold these. He hasn't designed us to hold our own burdens. And then number five, we want to fervently seek God's peace to do God's will, God's way. Seek God's peace in prayer. Do that fervently. Jesus, hours and hours in prayer in Garden of Gethsemane. I think that if we're just spending 5 minutes trying to resolve this and then moving on, we're probably not going to achieve that. Are we really seeking Him? Really seek, fervently seek God in all this. It's tough, but God wants us to give us that peace. Unless, of course, we go back to number two, and you know what? I'm really not in God's will. It's sin, it's whatever that's causing me this to feel this way. Well, how do I rectify that? Lord, what are you asking me to do? So as we close out our message, I just want us to have grateful hearts. Man, this is wonderful. We can have God's peace in the middle of all the stuff that's going on this year, this season, what's going on with us personally in our lives. How awesome is that? This world does not have peace. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, then your peace is going to be solely on a COVID vaccine. Your peace is going to be solely on your elected officials. Your peace is going to be on the job that you have and the finances that you get. Your peace is going to be on so many other things. That's not Jesus. That's going to come up short in this world. It does come up short in this world. That's how we're designed. That's how this world is designed. We just need to remember that we are positionally at peace with God. And that can never be removed. Number two, we can walk in peace independent of our earthly circumstances because of our spiritual circumstances, because of our spiritual identity. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. We don't have to keep on sinning as we do. Romans chapter 6. It's wonderful. And even as the tough situations come in there, we'll talk more about this, I believe, next week, unless God changes the message, which He's been doing recently a lot. But we'll look at, what about trials? Those are not fun. Trials are not pleasant. What about, perhaps it's discipline. That's why we're feeling uneasy. Because, yeah, we've been walking a little bit off, a little bit wonky. But we have a wonderful God who's there. We have a great Father in heaven who's disciplining us with the perfect love, the perfect caring, the perfect knowledge of all this. And the wonderful thing is we can look at Jesus, Hebrews 4:15. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus can sympathize. That physical, emotional pain of dying on the cross, He wasn't at peace. He was tempted to forego this, forego dying on the cross for us. The unknowns of His disciples taking up the torch. And we have our flesh tempts us just to ruminate on the anxieties, to just think about and just be all consumed with these peace takers in our life, not see God's solution. We ever do that? You just keep on playing it over and over and over again. And I don't know, there's something, it almost satisfies the flesh, but this flesh is never satisfied. It just takes more and more time as we think about it, and rather than, Lord, what do you want me to do? So perhaps for some of us, just, Lord, give me the desire to desire peace. Because some of us, we like sitting in those negative spots. It feeds our flesh. But we can be like Jesus and take those peace takers, those things that are taking peace away from us, we can take those to the cross. We can take those to the Father and have Him take those away from us. And so just a reminder, the difficulties we face do not mean we're not at peace with God, that things are going wrong. We just live in a broken world. And God wants to come alongside us. He wants to minister to us. He wants our peace to be completely in Him. And so it's actually a blessing when we're not at peace because we're probably trusting on ourselves more than we ought to. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much that you are the author of this life. You are the creator of each and every one of us. You have made us in your image. You have made us with our strengths. You have made us with our weaknesses. You have made us with those in our lives, we have those sin trappings that we seem to come back to, but Lord, you love us. You love us so much. Help us to take a hold of these things. Help us to seek peace in you. Lord, help us to pray ourselves into a place of peace when the world and the circumstances just will not allow it. I pray this week as we enter into Thanksgiving and Christmas season, Lord, help us to be a blessing to one another within this body, within Heritage Bible Church. Lord, help us to be a blessing to those outside these walls. Give us new relations. Give us deeper relationships with those who do not know you, who are lost and who are hurting in this community. May we not get taken up to heaven without sharing your treasure with others who desperately need it in this world. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Stand with us if you like.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the light, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me, I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me, I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against me shall stand. The whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful, you are faithful, you are faithful. I know who goes before me, I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Amen. Lord, help us to remember, help us to walk out in your power. Help us to be a blessing to those that we come in contact with, an encouragement, whether they're far away from you or close to. Lord, you've created us each individually with our own spiritual gifts, our natural gifts. Help us to be a blessing to this community. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And just two things. So just a reminder, if you can be a part of that,